When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show. We've got a Super Bowl. It's the Chiefs against the 49ers. 49ers end up beating the Lions when Dan Campbell could not control himself, going for it on fourth down twice when he should have taken the points each time, and then the Ravens simply laid an egg. You can't fault their defense. They scored 17 points, the Chiefs did, but they didn't score in the second half. Lamar Jackson laid an unbelievable fat egg, and here we have a Super Bowl that I think is an attractive Super Bowl. The number one seed 49ers, the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs, and I do believe that what we've seen over the 3 weeks so far in the playoffs is that championship pedigree counts. Knowing how to win counts. Knowing the big moment, how to navigate it, counts. Because the Chiefs, after struggling for most of the season, came out in the postseason and they dominated. They dominated against a good Dolphin team in frigid conditions in Arrowhead. Then they went to Buffalo, beat a red-hot Bills team in cold weather in Buffalo. And then they went to Baltimore and beat what many consider to be a perfect Ravens team with everything you'd need to advance. And they beat them somewhat convincingly, although it was just 7 points. It didn't seem like the Ravens were in it. And the bottom line is, championship pedigree means something. Having been there and done that means something. And you have to take that into account when you take a look at who you're going to pick in the Super Bowl. Now, the 49ers have been there. Brock Purdy is not. But a couple of their players have. They lost. But we'll see exactly how it plays out. It should be an interesting Super Bowl.
Yeah, and this is where it all started for Kansas City, right? Go back to that Super Bowl against the Niners where they scored 21 unanswered points in the fourth quarter and won that title for Patrick Mahomes and really have never looked back. The one Super Bowl they did lose after that was to Tampa and to Tom Brady. Otherwise, we're talking about a huge dynasty. And San Francisco's been knocking on the door. This was probably the matchup last year had Purdy not gotten hurt in that Eagle championship game. And
although Aaron Boone pushes back on him, he said even if Purdy didn't get hurt, the Eagles were going to win.
Well, listen, he's entitled to his opinion, but it's a close game, and they were what, on their fourth quarterback? It felt like
They couldn't throw.
You know,
based on what's happened the last couple of years, by the way, I'm sorry, Philly, you don't have a kick coming. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, everything that happened with that team was a miracle now.
Wow, strong.
I'm sorry. Turned out to be a disaster.
But Aaron Boone's entitled to his opinion.
Of course, he's a great man.
I think I'd like to see that game played with a healthy Purdy. And now you see he's got a chance to go out there you can't discount San Francisco, Michael. But I was the believer going in on Friday. I said sometimes what you really are eventually reveals itself, and the Chiefs did not feel like a great team. This does feel like the worst of the Chiefs teams that have gone to the Super Bowl.
I agree.
I mean, this is a team that had to play 3 playoff games, 2 on the road. You know, Mahomes never had to play on the road in the playoffs and had to win 2 playoff games on the road. And in real hostile environments in Buffalo and Baltimore. So, you know, they start to turn you around. They're like, okay, you know, maybe they are just as good. It just didn't catch the brakes or whatever during the course of the regular season. But in the postseason, this has been really impressive. And it's really hard to believe that this is where they're going to stub their toe against a San Francisco team that could have very easily lost to Green Bay and should have lost to Detroit.
Yeah, that's the key, Don. I mean, you watch the 49ers. They've been great all year. I mean, they had that stretch of 3 games that they lost in a row, but they righted the ship and they've looked wonderful. But the 2 games in the playoffs, they have not shown much. I mean, they've shown a resiliency and a toughness to stay with it and win the game, but you could say that Green Bay outplayed them. And for the first half, I mean, they didn't belong on the same field as the Lions. And then Dan Campbell started to Dan Campbell, and it all fell apart. But I mean, we wouldn't be shocked here if we were talking today about the Lions against the Chiefs, because the Lions had it. It was right there. Then their receivers forgot how to catch balls. And Dan Campbell decided, you know what? I want a hit on 18. That's what he did. He took a hit on 18. You stay. You take a hit on 16. You don't take a hit on 18. And you take a hit on 16 when the guy's showing a 5. Or when the guy's showing a 10. He would take a hit on 16 if the guy was showing a 5. And that's not smart. It's just not smart.
Now, as much as we all wanted to see the Lions in there just because they are a great story and they had never been there before, this is probably the better game, right?
I don't know.
It just feels like...
I think it's a sexier game.
I don't know about that either, because I think Detroit became sexy with their story.
But the 49ers are a legacy team going for their 6th Super Bowl.
I'm going to say something that I shouldn't say.
Oh, here we go.
And there was a time when we really shouldn't say it, but now, who cares?
Okay.
The thing that Michael pointed out earlier about like the Taylor Swift thing, and that there are these people being like, Taylor Swift is a Democrat, and so we hate Taylor Swift. So the funniest part is I actually watched a clip of my old colleague turned right-wing pundit, Charlie Arnold, talking about this on Fox News.
Oh, I saw this.
And she's like, you know, all Taylor Swift, she's a Democrat, and she's going to push people to blah, 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 and liberals already like her, blah. So the next couple of weeks, we have to root for San Francisco. And I thought, oh, my God, the irony's rich. I hate San Francisco. Nancy Pelosi's team. I mean, of all the cities you have to root for, San Francisco is the literal mascot of all liberal wokeness that everyone is scared of. So you have the people who are going to be like, I hate Taylor Swift. I don't want to root for her. You know who we root for? The 49ers. I just find this rich with irony. Or you could just be normal and root for the football game based on the two football teams.
That would be
nice. And make your decision on who you want to vote with real information, not because of a singer or an actor that goes one way or the other.
You're saying crazy things. Like for me, in this particular Super Bowl, I would like both teams to lose. That's not possible.
How does that happen, though? I don't get it.
It's basically impossible. So I truly don't know who I'm rooting for.
So nice to be a champion and just sit back and luxuriate in the game and not worry about a thing.
Oh, yeah, I'm not worried about a thing. Well, you guys don't have to worry. It's over.
No, I don't have to worry either. You're right.
I'll be rooting for the 49ers. A couple of reasons.
All right, go ahead. Because there's a big Giants history.
I'm an NFC guy.
Okay.
And the Giants-Niners is one of... I had a top five on this. I can go back to the archives and see where I ranked it. One of the best non-division rivals. When you think of the big games that they played, championship games they played. And I feel like the Giants held their own. So I don't hate the 49ers like I do the Cowboys or the Eagles. And I'm kind of done with Kansas City. You know, it's not somebody new per se, but it is in the sense that it's been a little while here.
Can I present an argument though?
Please.
So
then the Purdy thing would be cool.
The Purdy thing's fun. Yeah, and I think Debo and McCaffrey are likable. I'll say this too. I'm pulling for Trent Williams to get a championship. I'd be happy for him. Even Chase Young, he's not playing great, but he gets to be on the championship team from being Washington. But I will say this. I have a tendency to root against teams winning championships because I always hope maybe one day my team will return to glory and become the greatest franchise in the league again. We have 3 Super Bowls. You Giants fans have 4 Super Bowls. San Francisco has what? 6?
5.
5.
This will be their 6.
So the question is, would you rather have San Francisco stretch and get to 6 or would you have Kansas City win now what would be what? Their 4th?
Do I have that right, Don? Do they have 5 San Francisco?
I think it's 5.
Yeah.
So it's 3 with Montana, 1 with Young.
They haven't won since the mid-90s.
So maybe it's 4.
Do they only have 4? It doesn't change it, though. So would you rather... Both are going to add a Super Bowl to their total.
Mm-hmm.
It's picking your poison if you're one of those freak fans. They do have 5, I'm told.
Okay.
Yeah, because Montana's 4 for 4, and then Young... got the other one.
There you go.
Okay.
So that's the 95 season. We're going on 30 years. Last time the Niners won.
Yeah. Even though it seems like they're in the championship game every year because they have been for 3 years straight. So, I don't know. I guess I'll root for San Francisco, but they annoy me too.
How about my dad, guys? When my dad was alive, he always, because he hated the AFL, would always root for the NFC team, even if it was the Cowboys. I'm like, what are you doing? You can't root for the Cowboys. Like those Cowboy Bills Super Bowls, what'd the Bills ever do to me? Matter of fact, the Giants beat the Bills. So those next after that, when they did the Washington one, then the two against Dallas, you gonna root for Dallas? That's where my dad was. Hated the AFL. Hated Joe Namath. And everything about the AFL. Despised it.
By the way, you know it's another underrated...
Hell for my dad. My dad went to hell, and there's no reason to believe he did.
No reason? Probably
be, his hell would be sitting at the Polo Grounds watching like a Titans-Raiders game. Like the New York Titans. That would probably be his hell.
Oh, his hell would be his son kissing Joe Namath.
Joe kissed me.
Well, there was kissing him.
He kissed me on the cheek. You weren't here for that, Peter.
I've heard of it. I heard about it.
Now, Peter, I'm going to turn you into a television executive because I think you have that kind of mindset.
All right.
Now, there are people that are split on this. I don't think it's 100% either way.
Interesting.
The one negative that I hear about Greg Olsen is that he constantly talks.
Greg Olsen, yes.
Other people say, you know, he had a really, really good game. He was great. If you're a Fox executive, do you actually move Olsen out and put Brady in?
I would have to hear Brady. But assuming...
I don't care if Brady is stuttering. I think Brady goes in. He's Brady.
Well, then why'd you ask the question?
I'm asking you. I'm giving my opinion.
I think if Brady is competent, which I assume he would be, then yes. Listen, I think this whole thing's ridiculous, and it could be on mute, and it would be fine. But since they spend millions and millions of dollars, then obviously it means something. So with all due respect to Greg Olsen... who I can't, every time I look at him, I just think I see Bill Hader playing Stifler in a skit. And I can't get over it. He looks so much like a Bill Hader character to me. I don't know why. I can't escape it. But I think Olsen's fine, but he is meant to be the number two guy in for Fox.
It's a big financial hit, though, because he makes $10 million in the number one booth. If he gets dropped to the number two booth, his salary goes to $3 million.
Well, that's so unfortunate. Oh, my God. Is he going to be okay? What's going to happen to the Olsons? Don, after his NFL career?
They got Mary-Kate and... You know.
Yeah, between Mary-Kate and Ashley and the fact that Greg probably netted his NFL career, I don't know, around $100 mil. I'd say a cool $100 mil, right? A pro bowler for basically his entire career.
I mean, but you're set up for your entire life money wise, and you keep working.
Not first of all, what you just said was a lie. Second of all, it's just not. I'm sorry, I have to be real with you. Who cares about Greg Olsen's ego in this? What's his other job option? You're going to go to another booth? Okay, go.
There are some people that said that the CBS should hire him and move him into the booth instead of Romo.
Well,
why are people so anti-Romo now?
I don't know.
I thought I saw a poll. I don't know who sent it on social media. Like, which broadcast team in the championship games do you like more? And it was, like, overwhelming it was Fox. Like, 78%. Because people just don't like Romo. Yes.
It didn't. I mean, because I think hands down Joe and Troy are the best.
Yes.
I agree. National
but
football,
of those two, people still... Burkhardt's outstanding.
He's not Nance.
No.
Sorry.
But Nance is also somebody that I can understand if you're not a big fan. Like, Nance is unbelievable, but I'm not a fan. Like, his style, to me, doesn't work for me.
To me, Michael, I know it's hard for you to say this because you're friends with everybody. If you were to choose yesterday based on the sound of the booth... Because of Nance, the CBS booth feels much more like this is a huge event.
Well, just because Nance has been around forever, and Burkhardt's only been doing NFL games for like a decade.
Correct.
I'm not saying he couldn't be.
I think Burkhardt has a pretty big sound. I know what you're saying just from the historical
perspective. But, it's built in. It's not Burkhardt's fault. He could get there one day.
I will tell you, full disclosure, we took the kids to the monster trucks over at The Rock yesterday.
Oh, that's big.
There's no way Jay Lynn like that.
You would be correct, sir. It was her second straight year, and
she's doing it for a brother.
There are two women that compete, including the Scooby-Doo car. They didn't do very well.
Oh boy,
or truck, I should say.
You hate to see that.
Marco watched it as if it was his job. So I had to listen to the first quarter in the car driving home. We got
Who'd you get?
Harlan vehicle?
No. Eagle.
Oh,
I would put Eagle in the booth in a second. Like, his passion, he's so descriptive. And that's what I'm saying. Like, Nance is elite. But for me, I think it's a little bit too golf for me. Maybe that's
so biased. Eagle has taken the NCAA tournament from Nance. Now you want him to take the Super Bowl.
In a second.
And just leave Nance the Masters.
Because I'm going to tell you two things. Number one, I just think there's more energy. It's fresher. I think he's just better, in my opinion. And also, I think he'd get more out of Romo. Because the one thing about Ian is very underrated sense of humor. And I think that they would gel very well together.
You know, SNL had the opening skit was on Romo and Nance. And the guy who did Romo was unbelievable. And then they did it was a terrible skit, by the way.
Yeah, it got panned.
Oh my God, it was endless with not a laugh in it. But they had the CBS, the NFL Today crew, and they leave out Boomer Esiason.
That's not right.
I mean, they had Coach Cower, Nate, Phil, and James. It was like Boomer Esiason doesn't exist. I mean, what are you doing?
I guess they just ran out of people.
Yeah, it's too many people to even try to do.
Nancy watched it because Warriors-Lakers went into like double overtime Saturday, so she couldn't watch the news.
Right.
So she ended up watching the news on Channel 4, which is sacrilege in our house. But she wanted, I guess, to see the weather. So she ended up staying up watching Saturday Night Live. And when I got home from Ottawa, she's like, it was the worst that she's ever seen in her life. I'm like, that can't be. She showed me one of the skits.
There were a lot of skits that were awful.
And I'm a big Fallon fan and Timberlake, but they did the whole Bee Gees thing. It was like 7 minutes of the worst skit I've ever seen.
They did a skit where you know, you said the Bee Gees, and they have Jimmy Fallon playing Barry Gibb.
Right.
And then Timberlake is Robin Gibb. Robin Gibb's dead.
No, I think it was Morris.
Morris is dead.
Yes. Well,
but who cares?
Yeah, but what are you doing? It's not a funny bit.
They're all dead.
But who cares? I mean,
Barry's alive, but I don't think you have like a wealth of knowledge about the Bee Gees.
I watched the doc.
Is there anything about Barry Gibb that he would go off the rails and yell at people? Like, it made no sense. It was not funny in the least. And I'm a big Fallon and Timberlake. I was like looking forward to it. And it was just like a political talk show, but they were the talk show hosts, and even his impression of Barry Gibb, which is very good, got lost in him screaming. It was brutal.
Well, I only watched one skit from SNL, and it was pure brilliance.
Which one?
The looking back through our home videos.
Oh, that was good.
That was a stroke of genius, and that's all I saw.
But I mean, Lauren has to look at that. That was not a good show. That was not funny. I don't get the first part.
Guys,
open.
It's 2024. This is not the first episode he needs to look at through this lens. And I love SNL. Like I actually think their cast is insanely talented and has been. But I can't sit here and pretend that most weeks it's not a tough watch at times.
Let's go to Norman in Queens. Norm,
Big Norm.
Hello.
Hello.
What's up?
How you doing? Good. I just wanted to touch one up to Dan Campbell.
Okay.
All right. I just wanted to remind everybody, let it marinate for a second. Dan Campbell, 2022 Lions, losing. He was crying on TV for a team that he knew could be better. Right?
Right.
Forward 2023. He has the mentality to go for it every chance he gets. There's nothing wrong with that.
But Norman, there is something wrong with it if you're going for it at the wrong time. There is something wrong with it.
But that's the point of taking risks.
But there's a risk and a reward.
Yeah.
Even if they got the first down there, there's no guarantee that they would have scored. They would have been 28 yards away, so they still would have had to go 28 yards. You had 3 points in your pocket. The only positive, Norman, would have been you ran some time off the clock. Blind aggressiveness is not smart.
He is a great coach. I don't think anybody's questioning that, but I'm sorry. This thing of he's just aggressive. Well, there's a time to be aggressive and a time not to be aggressive. Clearly, he was of right mind at the end of the first half, take the 17-point lead into the locker room. So you can't tell me it's always aggressiveness because he did the right thing there. But midway through the third quarter, a chance to go up three scores. Guys, I'm sorry. And the kicker is good like over 77% of the time. You can't tell me converting on fourth down is going to be as high as that. And you also make a great point, Michael. Even if they get the first down, yeah, they take a few more moments off the clock, but they still might end up having to kick a field goal. Wasn't a guarantee that they were going to eventually get a touchdown anyway. So, but why do I feel like that caller is the reason why they do it? Oh, that's just what I am. Like, almost taking the decision out of it. Oh, I'm just going to go for it because I'm aggressive.
Well, the most egregious thing was running the ball on third down when you're trying to save a timeout at the end of the game. He managed the clock terribly, and they couldn't catch the ball. That's why they lost.
And they melted down right after that. It, never mind the momentum you handed San Francisco. It was a gut punch. You created a gut punch on your own team that the defense couldn't get a stop after that, and then you fumble on the next possession, and then it was drop passes, and that game was cooked. It was cooked. And it was all because of a decision that you didn't have to make. You didn't have to make it. And I don't even want to give him credit for the aggressiveness, Michael, because this all might be analytically driven and it doesn't matter. So we might be giving these guys cubes that they don't even deserve to get because somebody's there here going, the numbers say go for it, coach. And then he'll play it off just like all of these coaches and managers do in sports, that it's their call to protect the yo-yos upstairs that do it by the book.
Let's go to John and Tom's River. Johnny.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. Back to Don's point, the field goal before halftime, the big point you guys forgot to mention was the third down and 10 when they got 7 yards when they could tie the game at 27-24, and they went for that one, too. That was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the kick field goal is it's tied. If they go down and score, they're not down 10. They're down 7.
All right, you keep it a one possession game, right? But that wasn't as egregious because maybe at that point, Michael, he's thinking the wheels are coming off here. I want to be able to keep the ball. I want to get a touchdown. I still don't do it, but to me, that's not nearly as egregious as the third quarter one.
Let's go to Maz in West Orange.
Michael,
Maz,
most explosive passer in the NFL this year. That's on passes over 10 yards or more. 10 yards downfield, 20 touchdowns, 66 passer rating, 133 rating.
What is that telling me? You get the ball of Brandon Ayuk or Debo Samuel, and they run after the catch. You're not telling me he has a great arm, are you? He doesn't have a great arm.
Over 10 yards or more downfield.
It doesn't matter. So if you get the ball, any quarterback could throw a ball 10 yards. So he gets the ball 10 yards to Brandon Ayuk, and he turns into a 60-yard gain. It looks like it's an unbelievable. Maz, are you telling me that Brock Purdy has a good arm? I want to know. Yes. Are you? Well, you're wrong. Yes, thank you for the phone call. You're wrong. He had Tommy John surgery. There's no way he has a great arm. Are you kidding me? He didn't have a great arm before he got hurt. You're throwing numbers at me. Best percentage. Does that factor in yards after the catch? Does it? Please.
No, if he told me the stat was in the air, it's a different conversation.
But thing that's accepted about Purdy is he doesn't have a great arm. And this guy, 49er fans are like Cowboy fans, Don.
They feel that way.
Oh, my God. They're blind.
But don't give me 10, 20 yards. I don't care. You're going to be able to. Venus De Milo can throw a ball 10 yards in the NFL. I mean, give me a break. The idea here, and it's not even the bombs. Anybody could do that. The arm strength is rolling opposite end, having to throw outside the hash marks. The strength behind that. And it's universally known that he doesn't have the arm strength as some other quarterbacks in the NFL. Plus, he's coming off of Tommy John surgery. So, fine. You can give me a stat about all the plus plays downfield. They're made by great weapons. And really, it doesn't take a lot of arm strength to throw the ball 20 yards, Michael.
Unbelievable. I need some time to towel off. Let's go to Peter now.
I'm glad you took that time, Michael. You need it. Give yourself a moment. I'll help you out and tell you that you can come get some Wranglers. Hey, New York, Peter Rosenberg for Security Dodge, Long Island Ram and Wrangler headquarters. Come get some right now. You can lease a new 24 Jeep Wrangler Sports 4XE for $499 a month, zero down. That's right, $499 a month, zero down. All during the Start Something New sales event. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so Saturday afternoon, you know, all the emphasis was on Sunday's football game. Saturday afternoon, the Knicks, with about 4.5 minutes remaining in the game, are slapping around another top-flight opponent, embarrassing the Heat. And then Julius Randle drives to the hoop. The defender tries to draw a charge. Randle goes down, tries to break his fall with his right hand. Then the whole body weight goes down on the right shoulder. He gets the foul call. He's due to shoot two free throws, but he just gets up and runs and goes to the Knick locker room, which means that he's definitely out of the game. He doesn't even take the two free throws. And then you start to think to yourself, if you're a Knick fan, we can't have nice things. Because they have been so great since the beginning of January. And they have beaten legitimately good teams, embarrassed them. And then this happens. So there was a fear that Julius Randle was going to be out for the remainder of the season. And they did an MRI, and it came out today that surgery will not be needed and that he will miss a couple of weeks, not months. That is about as good a news as you could have. Because the Knicks can absorb a couple of weeks, because in that couple of weeks, you know, you're going to have the All-Star game, and the, you know, there's time there to absorb it, and all you have to do right now is move OG into the power forward spot, move Josh Hart into the starting lineup as a small forward, and there you have it. You've absorbed the loss of Randle. I don't think you could absorb it for the whole year and have the Knicks do what they wanted to do, but that was such good news. I mean, it's still not definite, but the word is it looks much better than they thought, and it's going to be a couple of weeks and not the rest of the year. But, boy, you really had to hold your breath and get nervous.
Well, the good news is they've overtaken Cleveland for the 4 seed. It's only a half game, but still, they're in the 4 seed. And as you mentioned, Michael, let's say it's a couple of weeks. All right, you've got a winnable game tonight against the Hornets, and then you come home for a long road trip. Six games. Utah, Indiana, Lakers, Grizzlies, Mavericks, Pacers. I guess, would you take 3-3 in that span without Randle?
Yeah.
So you win tonight, so then that's 7 games. You'd be 4-3. That takes you to at Houston, which you should win. That's February 12th. So that's 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can get him then at Orlando, at Philly. Then it gets tough versus Boston. So if you can get him back, Michael, in a couple of weeks, and you can go maybe 4-3 over that span.
Yeah, I think you take 33-20.
Maybe you fall out of the 4 seed in that span, but you stay within striking distance, and then you get them back and see what you can do.
I'll tell you what, though. You take whatever happens, even if they lose all the games, which I don't think they will. because you would have no chance if Randall was out for the year. And I think people would have gotten a real idea of how much Randall means to this team if you took his 25 and 10 out every single night. So that could have been a devastating injury. The guy's been an absolute beast for this team ever since signing with them. He never misses games. A lot of people thought he should have missed games at the beginning of the year when he was coming back from the ankle surgery. He wouldn't. He refused. And the guy has played as many minutes since joining the Knicks as anybody. So this was startling.
Yeah.
It was stunning. And I know when I wasn't watching the game at the time, but I'll tell you what, I got nervous right away because it's, uh-oh, here we go. Because I don't think you can make a trade to absorb that.
No.
You just can't. You can't get Julius Randle before the trade deadline. So the fact that he's out just 2 weeks and the fact that he's left-handed and it's his right shoulder also helps him a lot.
So let's just say, for sake of argument, he comes back after the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. The first game after the break is February 22nd at Philly. So you might have to play 9 games without him.
You go 5-4, you sign up.
Like I said, you know, you should be able to win tonight. You should be able to beat Utah at home. There's 2 wins. Indiana will be tough. I don't know what the Lakers are, Michael. I think they could beat the Lakers without Randall. I haven't paid attention. How much better has Memphis been with Ja back?
Well, he's out now.
I mean, he's back
still,
out.
He's still out.
Right, gone. He's gone.
So you could beat Memphis. Yeah, because they beat Memphis without. Yeah. Again, Indiana tough, and at Houston, at Orlando. I mean,
Houston's
5-4.
Not a pushover anymore, and Orlando's a good team.
Houston fights.
Mm-hmm. They almost came back from 28 down. And turn the net game into a 1-point game. The Nets ended up winning over the weekend.
Orlando's 24-22 also. So not a complete pushover.
I want to throw this out there, too.
And toss it out.
Technically works for the competition over at CBS.
Okay.
It's not the competition. Odyssey's not owned by CBS anymore. Go for it.
No, but he's on CBS radio. I hear him on the fan on occasion.
Toss it out there. No, please.
But I worked with him a lot over at Sirius. And I consider him a friend. Andrew Bogish got to do his first ever net game against the Rockets. I didn't get a chance to hear it, but I heard good things. So congratulations. That's not nothing. That's pretty cool.
Now, speaking
that was a rare net win.
a rare net win. And by the way, the Nets play tonight. You can watch it on YES. You can hear the Knick game right here on 98.7.
Ray Rowe.
And the Nets get back Ben Simmons.
that's what they say.
What do you mean they say?
I mean, what does it ever mean, really? You know what I mean?
About Ben Simmons?
Yeah.
Well, he's going to play tonight. That's what it means.
Right, but for how long?
Well, that I can't say.
And what does playing include? Does he shoot the ball more than 4 times?
No, he doesn't shoot the ball, but he initiates fast breaks, rebounds, he does bends.
Sure he does.
I'm sorry. That went over like a lead balloon. I apologize.
Wow.
Yeah, he's back.
Have you ever heard of the work of Peter Schrager?
Oh, sure.
Of course. Yeah, sure.
Okay. He's unbelievable. I don't know if you guys saw this. So he does a bit on the NFL Network on their morning show every year before the season starts, and he gives the 2 teams that will play in the Super Bowl. He has nailed it 6 years in a row.
That's
the beginning of the year, he went Chiefs and the 49ers. But he does it 6 years in a row.
That's something.
I mean, that's puff out your chest sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's like winning the picks I made 2 years in a row, being over 10 games over 500.
No, right? I think it's much harder than that.
I don't know. 10 games over 500.
So, let's just see.
You know what they say about Schrager, by the way? Always heard this?
He got that dog in him.
It's not nothing, Peter.
No.
No, it's great.
I mean, all right.
Are you talking to me or him?
Is it that crazy a thought, 49ers Chiefs?
No, not at all.
But you think you
had to do it 6 years in a row?
That's impressive, no matter how you cut it.
So I don't think people had Rams Bengals when Cincinnati went to the stadium. They had to go win in Kansas City to go to the Super Bowl.
That's tough.
Right? Chiefs Bucks. All right, Tom Brady.
I think he must be some kind of warlock.
I'm just trying to think. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So 6. So this is his 6th, right? So this is going back to Patriots, Rams, Chiefs, 49ers, Buccaneers, Chiefs, Rams, Bengals, Chiefs, Eagles. So there's that. The only outlier, I guess, would be Cincinnati, just because they kind of came out of nowhere, right? That was the first year after Burrow got hurt. But even so, it's not like the NBA back in the day where you could just basically lock in Cavaliers, Warriors.
Now, a lot of people are sending me things about Purdy's arm, right? This is from, I don't know exactly. Well, anyway, after all, Purdy has been the most accurate and effective deep passer in the NFL this season, according to Pro Football Focus. He's completed 22 of 33 attempts, 20 or more yards down the field for 684 yards, 7 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Mahomes, Allen, and Justin Herbert generally are regarded as being among those with the strongest arms in the NFL. However, each is completing deep passes at less than 40%. Combined, Mahomes, Allen, and Herbert have thrown 9 touchdowns and 13 interceptions on pass attempts of 20-plus yards down the field. Okay, it's a good point. But you have great receivers. The pass that Ayuk completed was underthrown by 10 yards and went off the helmet of a defender, and it was caught.
Overthrown.
No, I think it was underthrown.
No, it was overthrown. That's why it hit the defender and bounced back to Ayuk.
Yeah. Okay, so it wasn't a good
but
pass.
By the way.
It wasn't an accurate pass.
But by the way, that I was thinking about earlier, you realize that should have been interception is probably the difference between winning and losing that game?
No, Campbell would have gone for it again somehow.
Good point. Maybe, yeah. Sure, who knows?
It's the final week of Superbox Bonanza 5. Each qualifier will take home a $25 Fanatics gift card and have a chance at one of 10 Superbox prizes. Be caller number. Don, who was my favorite player growing up?
That would be Bobby Mercer.
Number one. Be caller number one.
Wow.
Right now.
Look at you.
888-987-ESPN. To select a box for the big game with a chance to win $500 in the first and third quarters, $1,000 at halftime, and a final score payout of $2,000, all brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey and the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey and Security Dodge. Come get some. So getting back to the arm stuff.
Yeah.
So he has much better numbers on deep balls than Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. Okay, so let's take the nerd stuff away. Because as Vin Scully once said, statistics are like lampposts for a drunk. They're used for support more than for illumination. So let's let our eyes do the deciding. Do you think Brock Purdy has as good an arm as Mahomes and Allen? Just asking for a friend.
Do you think Purdy has an arm like Mahomes or Allen?
Right.
No. Decidedly,
okay, so
no matter
Mahomes
what.
And Allen have decidedly lower numbers on deep balls than Purdy. So they're throwing these stats at me, again, to support their argument, but their eyeballs don't tell them Mahomes could throw a ball through a wall. Same thing with Josh Allen, and same thing with Joe Burrow. But they're going to tell me that Brock Purdy has a great arm. I'm not saying it's a bad arm. But he doesn't have a howitzer by any stretch of the imagination.
And also, it's a misleading stat, right? Because Brock Purdy could throw a lot of balls of 25 yards to Kittle or Ayuk or whoever it may be. And he's then in the same stat with Allen and Mahomes, who in their balls over 20 yards are trying to throw it 60 yards. It can be a misleading statistic.
And also, did you guys see Kadarius Toney is melting down? What does Joe Shane look smart trading this guy?
Has not played great for him.
I mean, wow. I mean, he went on Instagram Live and ripped the Chiefs. An expletive-laden statement.
Dude, you just had a child. Right?
Right.
Go be with your kid.
Relax yourself.
I mean, it's one of the most wonderful things that can happen to a human being. Focus on something else. At least for a day.
Weird. Let's go to John and Brick. John and Brick.
John?
Johnny.
Hey, guys. How you doing today? Peter, I wanted to actually talk to you about the Royal Rumble on Saturday.
Mm.
Do you get upset at all with the WWE that they never ask you to be a guest commentator? Because I would wait with all of the work that you do for WWE, and it's a lot.
Thank you.
Plus a podcast. Why are you never guest commentating?
Well,
I way prefer you over McAfee.
Whoa. ESPN on ESPN crime. What are we doing?
Well, I mean, I didn't say that. John did.
I thought you agreed with it. No, I didn't.
I thought Pat did a nice job on Saturday. I would love to one day get the chance to try to be at the table and do what Pat gets to do. Would I say jealous? Sure. I mean, the guy's had multiple WrestleMania matches. He was in the Royal Rumble briefly this weekend and got to do commentary. So I think you'd be crazy to not go, wow, that's really cool. But, no, I mean, that's just not what my gig has been. And like Pat brings an entire other thing to the table
that I don't bring. Like, do I think I could do a good as good a job sitting there and talking? Absolutely. I think I'd crush it. But Pat's a megastar at this point. He's bringing, that's a whole, that's not a thing I can, it would be unreasonable for me to compare myself to Pat right now.
All right, so I have a would you for you. I know it's on Wednesday.
All right, go ahead.
Would you?
And by the way, you know what they say about Pat? I just want to say.
He got that dog in him.
But go ahead.
Would you sign on to actually go into the ring and take part in a match, and your popularity and fame would skyrocket, but there's a chance that you could be disfigured or crippled.
Hmm.
Chance. Not that you would, but a chance.
Well, but
would
is
you
it,
take that?
Is there a worse chance than every time these guys and girls get in the ring? Because that's always on the table.
Oh, I understand, but they're incredible athletes. You're not.
No, I would take the... Would I get to train at all for it, or I have to go in Raw?
Yes. No, train.
No, I'd do it. I'd give it a shot. Really? I think it would be a... I'd be scared. Even the Royal Rumble opportunity, like which what Pat did the other day, is he was sitting at the commentary desk, his music played, he got up, he went in, he looked at the giant Omos standing in the ring, who's 7'3", 350 pounds, and then he just climbed out of the ring and dropped to the floor. So he got to avoid any bump. The thing that scares me about ever getting to be in a Royal Rumble is I'm 5'8 at best. Do you know how high that top rope is off the ground? When they chuck you over the top, if you don't know how to do that, do you know how bad that landing would be, Don?
Oh, that's bad.
Hitting the apron before falling to the ground, it might be the end of me. So if I had the opportunity to train, though, I'd absolutely want to give it a shot.
Interesting. So an early would you?
You know, be careful with would you, though.
Why?
Because the wrong person talks about it, and before you know it, I'm having phone calls with brass about the... It can create lots of problems, I've heard. Mm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Phone calls with brass? We haven't heard about this.
Oh, I had a phone call with brass last week. Yeah.
About what? You didn't do anything wrong. It was about me.
Well, was it about you? Because it was really me that led to things being about you.
Oh, I see. Because but many people thought that what you said, I said.
Exactly.
But I didn't.
But in the end, everyone was fine. And when asked, how does management feel about Peter Rosenberg? You know what they said?
He got that dog in him.
And I was like, thank you. Yeah, appreciate that.
A little slow, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, the timing wasn't perfect.
No, well, I thought Michael would answer. I thought he was going to guess.
No.
Well, who's that on, really?
Me.
No. I knew you were setting up that drop. You didn't want me to guess.
I thought you...
I've done this thing before. It's not on first rodeo.
That's a good point. You are a professional.
And a really good one. Don, who's splashing in the tub today?
Well, who do you think? It's technically my mom, but the read says, Don LaGreca here to tell you about my friends at Bathfitter. They remodeled my mom's bath, did an awesome job. The process was easy. One expert installer, even with the customization she needed for a cast iron tub. It was done in one day with no demo or mess. It's a beautiful and high-quality permanent solution. Bathfitter provides a lifetime guarantee. 3 million happy customers like my mom for a limited time get 0% interest or save $500 on a complete Bathfitter system. So start designing your bath today at bathfitterdesign.com. There is only one Bathfitter.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. To Football Monday with the Michael K. Show, presented by Infinity and Slomans. The point guard.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
And then the other thing I hear is, well, hey, wait a minute, he's aggressive. Then why did he take the points at the end of the half? If he's all about all gas, no break, he had a chance to go up 21 points at the end of the quarter.
That's
it. But he decided, I'm going to take the smart move, kick the field goal. But if it's all gas, no break, we chew knees off, then why not go for it on fourth and goal at the three and put the stake in him?
That's it.
He did the right thing. So there's not even any consistency in the aggression. What?
Now, Peter, you don't get any credit for that. But that's right. Yes, that's good. Yeah, you are not the point guard. It was Don.
Well, I didn't get it in because Don was going. He was in the Don mode. But all my that's it was to say was that's point guard. That's all I meant.
And you did eventually say that.
Thank you.
I also would like. I wonder if Fun with Numbers could do this and crunch the number. I believe Don overwhelmingly wins point guard on Mondays. Following football.
Mondays. Wow. We should put him to work.
He's like, you mean, what you're saying is Don's like a coach out of the bye who just every time, that's Don. He wins out of the bye every week.
No, I just think that football is his hanging curveball, and he's got strong opinions about it. The other stuff he barely knows. So, I mean.
He takes something nice and then he shoves
where it comes.
You don't want.
I mean, we do have somebody that does this every day that probably has those numbers. And that's.
Maybe.
Anthony.
Was that
Pusick.
Anthony?
Yeah.
No, I don't think
he could probably break it down.
I can guarantee you he does not have that.
Maybe he wasn't so busy like saying caller one, caller two, caller three.
I have every date, so I can go back and look.
All right.
That's a lot. Seems like a big effort.
I'll buy you dinner.
Chun-Li?
Oh, yeah.
You know what? You guys said it was closed. I walked by it the other day. It's very much open. What's wrong with it?
Who said it was closed?
Somebody, remember, we were all thinking about going. Yeah, I heard it might be closed.
No.
Maybe on that particular day that we were talking.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. You sound like a crazy person.
I'm not a crazy person.
No, but let's do that.
You know what we never did, Art?
We never had our holiday dinner.
Let's do it tomorrow.
I can't. I've got
the hot stove.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Wednesday.
Wednesday's doable.
Potench. Although.
Here's the money move, Michael.
Yeah.
We ask Gunling to come in.
And don't tell Peter.
And don't tell Peter.
That's fine. You know what? I'd understand it. I'd respect it.
No, but you know what? We're above that. You're more than welcome to come. We think you'll add something. Wednesday. Let's give it a try. I got no Rangers. They're on their All-Star break. So let's take advantage. So it's always the holidays on the K-Show.
It's a great point.
And so the Rangers right the ship on Saturday?
It's one game. You never right the ship in one game, but you know they scored 7 unanswered goals, all 5-on-5. You know, so they did check a few boxes, but you need a little bit more consistency. Did it with down 2 defensemen. Lindgren was hurt. Truba suspended. But it's a lousy team.
So didn't Dr. Steve get a check on his boxes?
Yeah,
Igor was awful?
Not very good against the Vegas Golden Knights.
It was awful, I think, is the word.
And I thought quick, or as they say, quickie, because hockey's got a little baseball
on it. I mean, tons. You kidding me? I'm obsessed.
That he did play
Iggy?
Well. Who? No, but Shesterkin?
Yeah.
Shesty.
Shesty.
That's horrible.
Yeah, I don't.
What is wrong with sports?
It's not working
people?
With
what
them.
What is
it's
this?
A baseball, and I got to tell you, if you ask most hockey players
right.
what their favorite sport is, they'll say baseball.
Really?
Yeah.
I love to hear it.
So I think it's a baseball thing. Hockey and baseball have a lot in common. Remember, that was Gretzky's favorite sport. Remember, they got him the big glove seat. Remember when he retired?
No, I don't.
They got him like a big baseball glove chair.
I have no recollection.
You know, it's just like he likes to shove it right, you know?
No, I have no recollection
of
that.
But the way you said it was like, here's how I heard it, and I think Peter heard it the same way.
It's right.
I can't win.
The way you said it was, I don't remember, and I shouldn't have to remember.
Right, and I'm good.
Well, I also can't believe they gave him such a cringy gift. I had that same thing,
it was
and I'm
one,
nobody.
It was one of many things they gave him. I forget who exactly was the one that
it's
gifted
Wayne
to
Gretzky,
him,
for God's
Wayne
sake.
Wayne Gretzky's favorite sport was baseball.
Right. Oh, but I have the same gift, and I've done nothing in life.
Although, you know what? Remember the gambling stuff with the Senators that we talked about a couple of months ago, and he got suspended 40 games? Shane Pinto.
Yes.
Shane Pinto is from Franklin Square. And I interviewed him for the pregame show on Saturday. Michael, he couldn't have been a nicer kid. And so I leave the hotel to go to the game later that day, and I run into his dad, who's a big fan of the show. And big New York guy, big Ranger fan, big Giant fan.
And I just thought I'd give it a shout out because it's a tremendous family. So
love the Pintos.
There was a, you know, the he got suspended and all that. It sounded like it was, he might have been a little bit too free with his codes. And some friends took advantage of it. But, you know, he served his suspension, but just a great kid and a really local kid, listens to the show. Dad listens to the show.
Peter,
big Jet fan.
Can we get the Pintos a meter? Can we do that?
I would love that.
I run into so many people who love the show and
no.
meterless.
Oh, no, you have no idea how many people at the Royal Rumble talking about the K-Show.
It's amazing.
No, walking around in Tampa.
Yeah.
When
Tampa's
I was
New York and Jays.
When I was literally, it really is. When I was like walking down the aisle doing my hit thing, and like after I walked back, everyone giving me five was like, "Ah, K-Show."
So how about this? So I'm in Providence, Rhode Island for another of Cali's cheer competition.
Oh, you're a big cheer guy.
Yeah, days. 6 hours in the car round trip. It's a blast. And so I'm walking through the lobby, and a guy stops me. He goes, "I see Jody's carrying a pocketbook." I said, "What?" He goes, "Well, it's not a Gucci bag. Were you lying?" I said, "No, I'm not lying. She has a Gucci bag." He goes, "And why is she wearing it?" I said, "She changes off."
Right.
Another listener to the show.
Did you ask them if they had a meter?
Oh, of course they didn't.
I just
no one has
they
a
don't.
Meter.
That's weird. Huh.
Yeah. Odd, right?
Funny how that works.
ENN coming up?
You planning
for the show life or what?
I'm ready.
But are you ready first to tell us about FanDuel?
Oh, you know I'm ready.
Ugh.
Last year, the Super Bowl, Gronk, well, he went wide left on FanDuel's Kick of Destiny. Now he's back for Kick of Destiny 2, and this time you can play along. All you have to do is choose if Gronk will make or miss, all right? Get your free pick in right now, because if you're right, you'll win a share of $10 million in bonus bets, all right? Everyone can get on the action when Gronk takes his shot at redemption before Super Bowl 58. So whether your team make, team miss, just head to FanDuel Sportsbook right now and get that pick in, all right? It's absolutely free. And then, if you get it right, you're getting a piece of that $10 million. New to FanDuel? Visit FanDuel.com/Peter to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. 21 and over and physically present in New York. No purchase necessary. $10 million prize pool to be split equally among all eligible participants who made the correct pick. Prize issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. For help with a gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY at 467-369.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.